and a few tweakings here and there, but I was in there this morning and the majority of the exhibit is ready. So we should be pretty much set to go for the opening this weekend. And definitely by the time Knight Heritage Hall rolls around, it will be completely done. And that's important because the exhibit this year is based on the 20s. And it's, as I said earlier, specifically 1920, naturally the year that Harding was elected president and the women got the right to vote. And, of course, Florence Harding was the first lady that had the opportunity to vote for her husband for the office of presidency. So that's kind of important.
If she too. Did vote for him.
And according to legend, she did.
Okay.
At least she told people she did. I don't know. I can't imagine her voting for Governor Cox, though. I mean, you know, they were rivals in the newspaper business and rivals in the political world as well. So, and that's an interesting point, too, that sometimes people don't realize. James Cox, who was the Democratic candidate for president in the year 1920, was also a newspaper man and was the editor and publisher of the Dayton Daily News. So in 1920, it didn't make any difference who you voted for, whether Republican or Democrat. You were going to get a newspaper guy from Ohio as your next president. So I think that's kind of an odd thing. And I always like to point out that, of course, when Harding ran, Calvin Coolidge was his vice presidential candidate and, of course, went on to succeed Harding when Harding passed away into the third year of his term. Coolidge took over as president. Little known about the guy that ran with James Cox as his vice presidential candidate. And in fact, when Cox picked him, a lot of the uppity-ups in the Democratic Party said, "Why on earth are you picking this guy? He's unknown, and he'll probably never go anywhere." And that was Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
So, it's interesting. You know, he showed them. But I think when they ran in 1920, Roosevelt was only 32 years old. So he just barely would have qualified if something would have happened to a Cox right off the bat to assume that office. So, and he was basically an upstart. You know, he hadn't been governor of New York yet or anything like that. So, kind of an unknown fact. And I always like to point that out to people when they're coming to visit the museum and they're going through the Harding rooms downstairs. That's something that had never happened before and has never happened since. That both major party candidates were from the state of Ohio. So
that is,
once again, that puts us on the map. You know.
Yes, it did. One question I would have, and I'm sure there's no record of this, but who did Kerry Phillips vote for?
Good question. But the more important question is, who did Nan Britton vote for?
Well, that's true. That's true.
And, of course, we know since time has passed now that Nan Britton was not just blowing smoke up someone's you-know-what. She was actually telling the truth. Mm-hmm. She did have Harding's illegitimate child that was so proven here just a few years ago by DNA samples. So if any of the Harding family is listening, there you go. And if it hadn't been for one of the Harding great nephews, the one that lives out in California, and his name escapes me, that DNA testing would have probably never occurred.
Right.
Because that took place between one of the grandchildren of Harding's and this great nephew out in California who became friends over this whole thing. So just a whole interesting scenario altogether.
I took us down a different path there.
Well,
sorry.
That's okay. And I don't mean to digress because, you know, we've got lots of time. And although I ran out of time the last time I was
about
on the show for the other network, but where was I going with this? Oh, Nan Britton, you know, wrote a book called The President's Daughter. Mm-hmm. And the Republican Party quelled the publishing of that book to limit it to 1,000 copies. And interestingly enough, a number of years ago, that show that they have on TV about the mysteries at the museum.
Yes.
They made a trip to Marion and actually recorded did an episode based on the book, The President's Daughter, at our museum here in town. So that was another thing that put us on national television a number of years ago. And that was, I think that was before the DNA testing came out, this thing on that. And I keep watching the reruns of Mysteries at the Museum because they do rerun a lot of those to see if it ever came on again, and I've yet to see that. But I'm sure they'll run it again one of these days. And I suppose, you know, in the modern world, if you go to YouTube or someplace like that, you can probably pull that up and find it. So, but anyway, I digress, which I do quite often.
That's okay.
What I really wanted to talk about today, and I think we ran out of time the last time I was with you down in Delaware on on your other
on
show.
Another station,
on
yes.
that other station that you do a show for. We didn't get to the bicentennial, so sometime in the next month or so, I want to get back down there and talk about the bicentennial on the other network. So I say network, I guess. I don't know what you call it. Anyway, I've got a press release that I want to kind of run through and hit some highlights on, and then we'll talk about the individual events. But most people, of course, it's March the 1st, March the 2nd, I guess, today. Most people that live in Marion County, I'm sure, already know that we are celebrating now 200 years of being a county, formally established in 1820. Now, originally there was a little discussion as to whether it was 1820 or 1822, mm-hmm. and depending on what source you look at, I guess you could say 1822, but for all intent and purposes, 1820 is the year that everything was majorly happening, and I've got a notation in here that kind of reiterates that. But
well, wouldn't the state have a record of that? Of
they do.
The county was officially...
They do, and one record was coming from one office in the state, and the 1822 was coming from another office in the state.
Okay.
So there was a little issue there as to which one it is, but I think they've got that all sorted out. Well, they better have, because we've got all these things going on this year, so it better be happening this year. Marion County is celebrating the bicentennial of its founding with a year-long series of events and projects to be held throughout the year. A core aspect of the commemorations will revolve around celebrating the history and the development of the different communities throughout the county. And that's important because a lot of the communities will be having individual events that are going to be taking place, and I'll mention some of those as we go along. And a lot of these are like homecoming-themed activities to celebrate people coming back that haven't been there for years. So celebrating our community's homecoming 2020 will entail the villages and communities of Marion County, the city of Marion, and various other entities developing and implementing a celebration activity. Homecoming 2020 is currently being developed by planning committees comprised of various representatives from all the villages in Marion County, the Marion County Historical Society, the Harding Presidential Site, the Marion Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, local schools, and other entities. Also, a Bicentennial Steering Committee has been providing oversight and coordination for the various groups that are engaged in the development and implementation of the events and the projects. And I might mention that this group has been hard at work for the better part of, I would say, at least 10 months. I know they started in the early spring of last year, so mm-hmm. a lot of people have put a lot of time and effort into this. And we've already had two programs, two monthly programs, talking about some of the things that took place in Marion's past. The first one is Marion County and how do we get here? And then the one that just took place last Thursday was on farming in Marion County, which was very interesting. Mike Brewer, one of our board members at the Historical Society, put that program on, and he talked about the early beginnings of farming in Marion County, and then kind of highlighted the fact that his family had been in the same location farming for seven generations, which is really, you know, that's kind of a landmark.
Most certainly.
Yeah. A significant part of the overall celebration will be the development of a series of four legacy projects, which are designed to have an ongoing impact with the bicentennial celebrations are completed. Numerous concepts are currently being developed, with some in the early planning stages, while others are close to completion. This isn't done yet, but I know they're progressing very well. An endeavor that is nearing implementation is the Digitization Days project, which will provide an opportunity for individuals to have a limited number of photographs, letters, diary entries, and so forth scanned in a digital format and given to them on a complimentary USB flash drive. Information on preservation techniques for paper, photos, clothing, etc. will be preloaded on the USBs along with the general information about the homecoming. That's going to be nice for people to have, especially if you've got a plethora of information on your own family that have roots here in Marion County and you'd like to have something that you can pass on to those that are coming up behind you. It's unfortunate, but a lot of this information is lost in a lot of families. And you know, you can go some places where you can find information. Census records, of course, is one place. We're fortunate in Ohio because right in a county over, we've got the Ohio Genealogical Society.
Sure.
Has a very nice facility of pretty new building over there that provides access. And of course, you can get things from the Mormons online. So there are a lot of places you can go to get that, but there's a lot of information available right here with Marion County's Genealogical Society that's in our building that you can get a lot of family stuff on. The scanning will be conducted by a team of specially trained volunteers who will offer this series of digitization days at various locations throughout the county and the city. Funding and equipment for this project have been secured, so it's going to be a go. Another legacy project that is in the final stages of preparation and may also actually be done by now is Capture the Living Past. I know some of this has already been started. First-person interviews with individuals from around the county will be recorded and preserved in the archives of the Marion County Historical Society. We actually did this a few years back with aviation in Marion County. Some of our volunteers started a program to try to gather the biographies and historical information of guys that flew in World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and so forth. So we do have that kind of started a few years back, but this is really going to focus on...
So you could have called that the plane truth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, true. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, they wanted to give me a plane to hang in the museum, but I couldn't figure out where to put it. So, unfortunately, we don't like to turn things down, but that had to be turned down. I was going to put it in the military room, but it wouldn't fit. This project focuses on those who have a story to tell from their daily lives, past experiences in areas such as education, family work, church, and so forth. An emphasis will focus on collecting information from 1950 to the present. And again, funding and equipment for this project have also been secured, so the money's there for that. Following in the same vein of focusing on daily lives and past experiences of residents of Marion County, the Marion 200 Speaker Series, and that's what we just talked about a minute ago, where we've already had two of these done, will feature a series of presentations on the origin and development of various components of Marion County's history, with an emphasis on the how and why. And among the topics being addressed are agriculture, business, education, entertainment, healthcare, manufacturing, politics, and personalities, religion, and sports. And I know they're still looking for some sponsorships on some of those. So if you're interested in that, you can contact the Marion County Historical Society, and they can tell you the person that you would need to directly talk to about that particular project. That's where the committee is meeting, and that's where everything is being funneled through. All funding and so forth is going through the Marion County Historical Society, but it's not part of the Marion County Historical Society's general funding. All that funding is coming from outside sources.
I see.
So it's the funding for the Marion County Bicentennial is a separate entity from the Marion County Historical Society. We just happen to be the agent. And I like to clear that up, and that's important because when we're out in the community asking for funds for the Marion County Historical Society, I don't want people to think that, well, you've got all this money from the Bicentennial. None of that's being used for the Historical Society in general.
Right.
So two completely separate things. To help preserve and share the memories of these activities for generations to come, the steering committee is planning to produce a broadcast-quality video tentatively titled The Story of Us. And I know that... Terry Klein has been doing some videography work. He was there doing the videography for the agricultural presentation. I didn't have to be at the first one, so I don't know whether Terry was there doing that one or not. I kind of think he was. But anyway, he has a professional video production company that he's able to do these things, and he does them very well. The video will not only provide a compelling story of the history of Marion County, but also capture the bicentennial effort itself. Footage not used in the finished program will make a valuable addition to the Marion County Historical Society for anybody's future use. The story of us, Marion County, will serve as a rich legacy of celebrating our community's homecoming 2020. So I'm assuming, from what I've been able to garner from talking to some of the people that are directly involved with this, they'll also try to be at the various events that will be taking place throughout the county in the individual communities. This project is a capstone effort of the Bicentennial Steering Committee, and again, they're still needing some sponsorship support. Did I hear something going
that,
on?
That was,
okay.
Sorry.
Spooked me a little bit. I thought somebody was behind me. In addition to these legacy projects, several other activities will take place throughout the year. Among these are the compiling of a time capsule featuring various items from various entities involved in the year's activities. pop-up museums located in areas throughout the county. And again, a lot of these pop-up museums will be in conjunction with homecoming activities, and I think some of them will be planned to remain then on site at various locations in the villages throughout the rest of the bicentennial year. A music trail in downtown Marion featuring mechanical music machines, Nickelodeons, and so forth. Guess I wonder where those are coming from.
Yeah, I wonder. Somebody has a collection of those, don't
they? Yeah, they sure do. Great collection of them. Activities in conjunction with the Marion Popcorn Festival and other downtown events. Bicentennial Bites food specials at local restaurants. Bicentennial Moments and Memories daily history snippets shared on radio, newspaper, and social media. And those have been appearing in the newspaper already. And Froggy just jumped and went according. Minting of special commemorative coins. And by the way, I think I heard at the agriculture program the other night that Wilson Bohannon Law Company is producing 50 specifically generated for the bicentennial of Marion County locks that will be, with the exception of the ones that will be given to the speakers of the series,
right.
The rest of them will be available for sale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So more information on that as information becomes available. They just mentioned that at last Thursday's program, so I don't have a whole lot of information on that. Souvenirs including wearables, wooden nickels, always popular at bicentennial, sesquicentennial events. Reenactors portraying noted men and women from Marion County's past, and much more. Other entities in Marion County will also be celebrating dates with historic significance in 2020. Among these are the 50th anniversary of the founding of the Marion Technical College, the 100th anniversary of Warren Harding's election as President of the United States, and the associated opening of the Harding Presidential Site Library and renovated home, which I know has now been pushed back to September.
I think that the home is opening
earlier
as scheduled, but the actual library and museum has been postponed. Yes.
Okay. Also, the 100th anniversary of the Ohio Health Marion General Hospital, and the 150th anniversary of the Ohio State University, with celebrations to take place at the Marion campus. Information on the bicentennial will be shared through a comprehensive marketing and advertising program with the utilization of all the various social media. If you have any additional questions, you can contact, as I said, Bicentennial Headquarters located at Heritage Hall or the Marion County Historical Society. And that's at 169 East Church Street in Marion. And the phone is 740-387-4255, or you can email MarionCounty200@gmail.com. And you could also go on MarionCountyHistoricalSociety.com website, and I think you can get links on there from that as well. So that's kind of a rundown that the Bicentennial Committee put out, calling for the 200-year celebration that actually started on January the 1st, so we're a couple of months into it now. Some of the things that are going to be taking place throughout the year. Any questions?
I have no questions right now. You've been really good at explaining these things.
Okay. Well, let me run down some of these things that are taking place, and then I'll tell you what some of these people are planning to do, at least some of the ones that I've talked to already. I will start with March the 12th. That's the next Marion 200 presentation, and that's on education, called Reading, Writing, Arithmetic, not the correct pronunciation, but what they
the
said back
R's.
In the day. Yeah, the yes. Three R's, right. All programs will be at Tri Rivers, unless otherwise noted. They all start at 7 o'clock, and they all take place in the auditorium. And I'm not going to try to pronounce that name that hangs on that outside canopy that hangs over that auditorium, because I always mess it up.
I believe it's Geok.
But I just always say at the auditorium, and then you enter there on the west side, so you can't miss it. That one should be very, very interesting, very entertaining, because, you know, at one time there were, oh, golly, I think someone once told me there were like 50 one-room schoolhouses in Marion County, maybe more.
And who's the presenter on that?
I don't know. They didn't give me a list of the presenters, so I can't give you the information on that. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
March 22nd, the Historic Women's Club home is going to be open for house tours. And that will be from 2 to 5. I know that they have asked for Ed Huber to be present and for Chuck Barlow to be present at that particular event. If you have any more information on that, you can call Cheryl Herr or Nancy Hafer. And I won't bother giving out phone numbers because it'll take up too much time, but they're the two people that are the contact on that. But that, again, is down at out on 309 East, the Women's Home.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, I've really
been
is.
Curious. I think I was in there once for some reason.
Well, they have that big auditorium that a lot of programs take place in there, but I think the whole house will be open for tours that day. April the 9th, the next Marian 200 presentation will be on religion, and it's entitled Praise Be. That one will also be held at Tri Rivers. It starts at 7 o'clock. April the 23rd is another Marian 200 presentation, and this one's called Entertainment, and that's The Show Must Go On. This one will be held at the Palace, and that one I do know Bev Henry's going to be taking care of that one because she's a director at the Palace. Then on May the 2nd, we have the Huber Museum Homecoming and the Frank Huber Home Open House. Let's see, I'll give you the hours on that. At the Huber Homecoming out at the fairgrounds at the museum is from 11 a.m. to dusk. I do know Ed Huber will be out there at the fairgrounds making a little introduction and probably be available to talk to you. And I know Bob Goyer, who owns Frank Huber's home there on the corner opposite the library, will have his home open that day at 2. Now, I'm not sure about the hours on that. I don't have those. I think he's going to try to get Mr. Huber to come over there sometime after he finishes out the fairgrounds. And he may have some other entertainment, too. So I know those both of those things are going to be happening on the same day. May 7th is the Marian 200 presentation on business, and that's called The Business of Business, and that's going to be taking place at the Marian Community Library. Again, I don't have a presenter on that one. May 21st is a Marian 200 presentation on industry, and that is the original Marian made. And that, again, will be out at Tri Rivers at 7 o'clock. And on June 11th, the Marian 200 presentation on healthcare, The Doctor Is In. Again, that will take place at Tri Rivers at 7 o'clock. Then on June the 18th, we have the Historic Women's Club Home 125th Anniversary Celebration and National Register of Historic Places Designation. So they're going to be designated on the National Historic Register that day. So that's going to be a pretty interesting day for them as well. And I know they've asked for Chuck Barlow to be there again for that one, and I wouldn't doubt if maybe Mr. Huber will be back for that one too that day. So that kind of takes us up halfway through the year. June 22nd, Ohio Health has a centennial celebration. I don't have much information on that one other than it's going to take place that day, so I would assume maybe at some of their various locations throughout the town. If I get more information on that, I'll update you. June 27th, Caledonia has their homecoming 2020. July the 4th is going to be a big one. That's the Prospect Homecoming, an old-fashioned 4th of July celebration. That'll take place from 8 in the morning until 10 at night, and I'm assuming will be capped off by their fireworks out of the ballpark that they have every year on the 4th of July. I know they have requested both Warren and Florence Harding to appear there, and I think I've got that arranged that both of them will be there. They've also asked for Christian Gast, who was the founder of Prospect, to appear there, and I think I have that worked out. Question mark. A lot of activities will be taking place that day, so mark that on your calendar. I think that's probably the biggest 4th of July celebration occurring that day. I think New Bloomington's having one also on the 4th of July, but I don't have any information on theirs. They haven't given us anything along those lines. On July the 18th, the Tully Township Martell Homecoming will take place, and that is from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. At Tully Township in Martell. Again, I don't have a whole lot of information on what's going to be going on that day, but Again, that will be happening on the 18th. Originally, we had down the Harding Presidential Site dedication to take place then, but as we mentioned earlier, that's been pushed to September, and I don't have the new date on that, but I do know it's in September sometime. July the 19th, again, the Historic Women's Club Home will be open for tours. July the 24th, the Marion Palace Theater Set the Stage Bicentennial presentation will take place. Now, this is not a Marion 200 presentation. This is their presentation, and that's going to be held again on the 31st. So if you miss it on the 24th of July, you can catch it again on the 31st, and that'll take place at the Marion Palace Theater. Okay. July 31st and August the 1st, a two-day celebration will be taking place in the village of Morrill, and that's going to be their homecoming. They've asked for Samuel Morrill to be present that day. And I'm kind of going between two lists here because some things have been added and not included on the original list. August the 2nd, I think I said July 4th, but I take that back. August the 2nd, New Bloomington is going to have a homecoming, and they've asked for Wingate Carey, who was the founder of New Bloomington, to be there for their presentation that day. August the 7th and 8th, the Fireman's Festival in Morrill will take place. August the 8th is Clarendon Homecoming and Ice Cream Social. A big one, August the 22nd and 23rd out at Owen Station. Homecoming there, and of course that's Dennis Maddox, and he has that beautifully restored opera house out there and another of other buildings out there, and he's asked for quite a few reenactors that day. We're trying to put together something with possibly the Civil War group from out of Bucyrus, or maybe a small contingent of the now defunct 21st that they're trying to restart up again. Moving on to September the 7th, Meeker Community Homecoming 2020 and Hog Roast. September the 10th through the 12th, of course, is the Marion Popcorn Festival. And the celebration, I'm sure, will be the 2020 Homecoming Bicentennial for that day. September the 12th, the Historic Women's Club Home will be open again from 10 to 1 for tours. September the 19th, Green Camp is having their homecoming along with the Fireman's Festival. And also on the 19th and 20th, Waldo Community Homecoming will be taking place. And General William Henry Harrison and Captain Daniel Drake will be in appearance. Of course, Harrison marched through there on the war road. And, of course, Captain Drake, alias Drake's Folly, took place in that general area. So that'll all be recreated, I think, that day. And that's Saturday and Sunday, Saturday 11 to 9 and Sunday 12 to 5. Let me see what I've got here. September 26th, LaRue Village Homecoming. October the 4th, we've got the Harding Presidential Site Front Porch Celebration and Parade. I think that's still scheduled to go at that time. Then in October the 8th, we have another Marion 200 presentation, and that's Sports and Recreation. Play Ball is the title of that one. Again, we'll be going back to Tri-Rivers Auditorium for that one, and that will be 7 o'clock. October 22nd, Marion 200 presentation of Politics and Personalities. That will be held at the Harding Presidential Center in their newly opened auditorium, I guess you'll call it. September, I missed this one. Let me come back here. September the 20th, the women's home will be open again, 2 to 5. They got a lot of open houses going on this year. September the 26th, along with that LaRue, I didn't mention this, but I think Walter Lingo will be making an appearance there that day. And, of course, he was the one that had the dogs, Harding had the what was the name of the dogs, the kind of dogs they had? Airedales. He raised the Airedales.
Laddie Boy.
Laddie Boy came from there. November the 7th, Historic Women's Club Home Arts and Crafts Show with home tours again. Also on November the 7th, a celebration of gospel being put on by Mays Community Temple Church of God in Christ. And then on November the 12th, culminating event activities and the sealing of the time capsule that will take place at the Harding Presidential Center. So that's as much as I've got so far. It's a heck of a lot of information. Again, if you are interested in finding out more about this, you can go on the Bicentennial website or visit MarionHistory.com and then click on the Bicentennial website and you can get some additional information from that.
Okay. So. And all those dates and times will be there.
Yes, everything will be there, and there may be even some things added. This list was given to me about 30 days ago,
okay.
So there may have been some things added since then. I know we've gotten a few calls at the Historical Society requesting reenactors for certain events, and I made a plea the other night at the Marion 200 presentation for agriculture that we need help with the reenactors. I have a limited number of reenactors that I work with at the Marion County Historical Society. Most of those are presidents and first ladies, and not to say that they can't be other people, but most of them have a lot of time involved in just keeping characterizations up with the characters right. that they do on a normal mm-hmm. basis, because a lot of them do other characters in addition to that. So we need help with people that are interested in being a reenactor. And it's like I told the group the other night at the program, I'm not necessarily telling you have to memorize a lot about a character. If you just want a dress up, play dress up that day as a character from the past, you don't even have to be a particular person. Just put on the clothes, and we can provide the clothing. We've got quite a wardrobe at the Marion County Historical Society. We can provide an outfit for you for the day, and you can go out and have some fun, you know, walking around in an 1850s dress or an 1860s suit or something like that. And it is a lot of fun. So if you're interested in doing that and you're listening, just call the museum at 740-387-4255 and tell them you're interested in it. Give them your name and your contact information, and either I or Becky will get back to you and tell you where you can go, what you can do, what's mm-hmm. available. Because, as I said, I know Dennis Maddox wants a whole bunch of people out at Owen Station for both of those days. And, you know, I can see Dennis wanting 40 or 50 people, and there's no way I've got 40 or 50 people
right.
I can commit to on a particular day when I've got all these other things going on. And, again, you know, being a reenactor, it is a lot of fun, but you can also get yourself tied up with a lot of different activities if you're not careful.
And yes, you
can only be in one place at, you know, one particular time, so...
Okay, Fred, we have about six more minutes. Anything else to add on that?
Well, I think I've got just about everything going with the Bicentennial that I wanted to talk about. I will run down a couple of things here quickly that will be coming up at the museum in the month of March. And then maybe, I'm not sure whether I'll get back here anytime soon, but I'll also talk about what's going to happen a little bit in April. We do have a cleanup day scheduled. I'm sorry, that was today. That's why there were people.
Did you miss out on that?
No, I was there this morning, but I guess I didn't do any cleanup. We do have a volunteer orientation coming up, and this is really important. It's on Saturday the 7th, and it's not just for people that – are already volunteers, is for people that want to become volunteers.
Right.
So, you know, it's important if you're interested in doing that. It's going to be at 10 o'clock. It'll be held in the auditorium at the Heritage Hall. And, of course, again, you come in State Street side there. The big awning says auditorium. You'll come in there, and then starts at 10. They'll have some refreshments, probably coffee and cookies, donuts, that type of thing. And hopefully we can get a good turnout for that. You know, and you don't necessarily have to be a docent or a guide at the museum if you don't want to do that. A lot of people don't want to learn all the information mm-hmm. that they need to be a guide. We also need people to just do things like come in and dust once in a while. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's out
there is
at the museum that isn't necessarily in cases. And those cases also need Windexed occasionally and wiped down because people like to put the fingerprints on them and that type of thing. So, you know, sweeping the floor, cleaning the popcorn museum, you know, wiping down cases. We need help with the sessioning. You know, you can help downstairs with accessioning items. You can help with putting things away. You can help with the exhibits. You can help put things out. There's all kinds of things besides being a reenactor to do. So very important new volunteer orientation as well as orientation for old volunteers. And I use that term not to mean old in the sense that they're old like I am, but people that have been doing this for a while. Because, again, the exhibit in the atrium, the main part of the museum, changes yearly. Mm-hmm. We just finished with the 1960s era, 1969 specifically, when we landed on the moon, and we've now morphed out of that and we're into the 1920s. So that all those things had to be taken down and put away, and that requires volunteers. All the new things had to be taken out of the archives and brought upstairs and put out. So,
and the old things put back in the archives.
Yeah, it requires a lot of work, so we really need help. I mentioned that the museum opens for weekends only this week on the 7th and 8th. And that will be true until we open for our regular weekdays, and that doesn't occur until May. So starting this weekend, the museum will be open 1 to 4 on Saturdays and Sundays only. There is Knight and Heritage Hall that we mentioned at the upstart of the program coming on the 20th and 21st. That's at 7 o'clock both nights. It usually runs from 7 to 9, and I always tell people, you want to allow yourself at least an hour to go through the museum, because with all the characters that are in there and all there is to see, you need at least an hour. And a lot of people spend the entire 2 hours there. So try not to come any later than 8 o'clock, because if you do, you might not get to see quite everything, because by 8 o'clock, our reenactors and volunteers are pretty tired.
Yes.
And we try to shut it down by 9 o'clock. So 7 to 9 are our hours. Try to get there early. And we usually have a line going out the door in the beginning, so that's a good thing. But it is a very popular event. We get people that travel from all over the state of Ohio to come from that event. I've had people from out of state come to our event. It's well known. The Ohio Historical Connection tried to duplicate it a few years ago, and they're still doing it, but we've had people come up that's been there and said, yours is 10 times better. So we thank them for that, but we do get people from all over. In April, basically, just being open on weekends, we do have another volunteer open house taking place on the 16th of April from 4 to 6, and that will be at the auditorium. Other than that, the museum opens for regular hours starting in May, and those are Wednesday through Sunday, 1 to 4. So
okay,
that's
Fred.
About all I can talk about there.
Yeah, that's probably plenty. We're just about out of time, let's just stop
with
that.
I'll save this for the next time.
And Fred Malone, we will have you back again soon.
Okay.
And we covered a lot of ground today, didn't we?
We did. And if anybody's got any questions about the Bicentennial, just call the Historical Society, 387-4255.
Okay. And thank you for listening to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH in Marion, Ohio.